Libria. I congratulate you. At last, peace reigns in the heart of man. At last, war is but a word whose meaning fades from our understanding. At last, we are whole. Librians, there is a disease in the heart of man. Its symptom is hate. Its symptom is anger. Its symptom is rage. Its symptom is war. The disease is human emotion. But Libria, I congratulate you, for there is a cure for this disease. At the cost of the dizzying highs of human emotion, we have suppressed its abysmal lows. And you, as a society, have embraced this cure. Prosium. Now we are at peace with ourselves, and humankind is one. War is gone. Hate, a memory. We are our own conscience now. And it is this conscience that guides us to rate EC10 for emotional content. All those things that might tempt us to feel again. And destroy them.
Librians, you have won!
The law of country.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Thursday, September 29th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep for co-political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking stand for free speech today, and just by listening, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, and you can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Osprey Radio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa, as well as SRN1. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way that you see fit. Now, let's see. Welcome everyone aboard for today's show. I would like to go start off by talking about some feedback. Dear Sean, I was listening to your show the other day when I heard you mention, in passing, that we, as a planet, should offer our services to the universe as a warring race, owing to our skills as such. Now, I think you may have been facetious, but if you were being mysterious, I don't really think you've thought that out. There are two scenarios that come to mind. Either one, the human race would become a society of mercenaries, and then he puts in brackets here, bracket, I guess we all are, to some degree, and bracket. Okay, well, now that we've established that, that everybody is mercenary. Okay, now you've given me that right off the cuff. Okay, but now I'm going to just carry on. So bear in mind, we've already established that we are all mercenaries, regardless of what else is said in the remainder of this letter. So yes, we are in total agreement. We are both mercenaries. So me and this person who's written this letter are on the same side. Okay, now let's carry on. Now, since we're all mercenaries of some degree, and we offer up our services to any planet with the money, or two, we remain autonomous in our power to offer and help any planet, system, galaxy that needs our help. So we either become sort of this sort of offering Starfleet kind of planet, or a sort of warring Warhammer 40K kind of planet. This is, you know, as we go. In situation one, the corruption would begin immediately. This is situation one would be when we are a society of mercenaries, so the corruption would begin immediately. The races in the universe who would purchase our services would have to be both, one, rich, and two, at war. The rich tend to get rich through corruption, and the rich and rich corrupt beings at war don't strike me as very good clientele. Okay, now, hang on here. Hang on. The rich tend to get rich through corruption. Well, that would assume then everybody, that's a pretty generalized statement. Say anybody who's got money is therefore corrupt. You know what I mean? And that's a very dangerous way to think, because you start to vilify the concept of having money. There's nothing wrong with having money. Okay, well, what you said here is the rich tend to get rich through corruption. Well, you might want to watch the way you're thinking on that, okay? Now, also, if you're going to be doing clientele, the whole point is that you have to make money. This is a business. In order to exist within the galaxy, you will have to give and take, you know, goods and services and all that sort of thing. Now, it doesn't matter what kind of clientele they are, as long as they have the money and they are able to afford us our business, then why not go do the job? That's the idea here. Since, you know, we'll skip the moral high ground altogether. Skip all that bullshit. Take all your moral high ground bullshit and go to where the metal meets the meat. Okay, if we have to remain viable within a galaxy that is a mercenary galaxy, you know, what do you do? Seriously. Now, he goes on to say, in situation two, we would remain controlled from our own sweet Tara. This is both impractical and dangerous, considering who, as a planet, we have a tendency of choosing as leaders. Okay, again, we have, like, no faith in the future at all. More to that, the United States has been trying to do that since Christ was a cowboy, all 250 so years that we've been around. And look how marvelously that's worked out for us so far. The U.S. has so many enemies, I'm surprised we've only had one terrorist attack and a questionable attack at that. In conclusion, I suppose living as a militaristic society could work, but I can't see how. Well, that's very cool. That's cool that you have admitted that coming out of the gate. That it could work, but you're not too sure how that would work. And to be honest with you, I'm not too sure how that would work either. But I put it to you, as we imagine a future, realistically, the only one that seems to go any kind of a direction that we want as WOGs is a militaristic society. That's just what I'm saying. There's far too much opportunity for corruption within... But he can't see how because he says he thinks there's too much opportunity for corruption within the military society. Now, this is where we get that whole concept of being self-righteous. You ever notice that anyone in the hardcore gaming... Oh, this is... Thanks for being you. Yours, love and hate, peace and war, Ronan Alien Kitten. Thank you very much, Ronan Alien Kitten, for a great letter. Now, this was a fantastic letter because it really got my brain going about this very concept. Okay? I think that the whole concept of when you look at, like, the Warhammer 40K Space Marines and things of that nature... You'll find that they usually have this self-righteous fervor. You know, this is how they become so totally embraced in this mindset that they are superior. And whenever you get that sort of a mentality, you usually get a religion being played out. Either Judaism or Islam or Christianity. I mean, Christianity is very familiar in our mindset of being, you know, these totally wide-eyed, you know, Bible-thumping psychopaths, you know, screaming, God's on our side! You know, these are the people that you think about. But realistically, those exist in every single major religious culture. You've got, you know, the Jewish, what do they call their clerics over there? I guess they're Jewish clerics, or, I'm sorry, I'm not too familiar with the entire Jewish faith. But you get your Jewish guys, and they're up there, you know, they're going all wild-eyed because they think God's on their side. And then you got the Islamic dude, you know, he's over there, you know, he's got Allah going on because this old God's all, you know, going crazy inside his head. So what you realize is that all these people are actually... what they've done is they've got themselves into a program which has boosted this kind of sacred rage, kind of jihad sort of thing going on. And we'll see this time again. You got the Inquisition, you got the Crusades, you got the people doing unspeakably brutal, powerful things. Okay, these amazing things like slaughtering millions of people in death camps. Like, you look at that and you go, how is this possible that human beings could do that to other human beings? How can we do that? I mean, realistically, no one in their right mind would ever allow the death of a child. It's ridiculous. The concept is totally obscene. Yet, it seems to happen all the time. We sort of get confused somehow, And when people start talking about the difference between right and wrong and good and evil and all this sort of stuff, invariably that also leads to religion. And then it turns into religious fight and all that sort of jazz. But I'm here to tell you, I think when people start talking about common sense and common dog, Sean, what's your point here? What I'm saying is that all of us have common sense. These common sense boundaries, these common sense guidelines, where you look at a situation with nothing other than the factors you have involved here and decide, is this good or is this bad? And quite often, in order to achieve a goal, you have to take into account the extenuating circumstances. But then it turns into a question of who's the goal there. So there's always this constant war of thoughts, essentially. What is moral judgments in our society? And any conflict anywhere in the world, it's a constant conflict of moral thoughts. And this is what, you know, we're talking about here with this letter. He's talking about, you know, well, at what point how do you get rid of all these moral thoughts? How do you get rid of all these crazy, you know, total constant war, conflict within self within the unit? The only way you can do that is with this concept of being self-righteous. And the Nazis discovered that, and they applied it to their own troops. And that's how the Nazis came to exist as they did. Because applying this really bizarre thought meme of, like, fascism and pseudo-religious bullshit to their existence so that they could, you know, go dress in black, look all cool, and dance around and kill, you know, millions of innocent people. This is the danger of these kinds of thought forms. And as long as we are thinking about that, as long as we're aware of that, is that a meme that we can use? Can we use that? Can the WOG, the whole counterculture, can we use that to make an alliance, to make a group to move forwards? Using that kind of power, but without that kind of risk or destruction, that's, like I said, you know, that's like the One Ring. You know, that's that kind of belief, that kind of unyielding, unwavering, you know, patriotism. That stuff there, that is the One Ring, seriously, of Sauron, because there's so much chance for corruption on that. I would wonder sometimes if that's what Tolkien was really talking about. But I love talking about these kind of things where people are concerned about the future of humanity. You know, I personally think that, as you do, Ronan Alien Kitten, that it will be a mercenary society in the future. And I also believe that a military society would work, but like you, I'm not too sure how. But it's interesting stuff to go tripping around on those sort of thoughts, eh? Let's get on to Sort Yourself Out here. Dear Sean, I have this mate. I've always been a very outspoken person, totally against cults. However, I found this one on the net, and I'm a bit worried that he might have been sucked into something. I wonder if he's becoming a wog. I asked my mate on the IRC, mates on the IRC, and they suggest that I ought to ask you, especially since it looks authentic. What do you think? All the best, mischievously. And this was from somebody overseas. So it's interesting now that I've got this question posed to me. I love emails like this. Where, first of all, when I get an email like this, I think to myself, you know, is this a legitimate request, you know, for somebody who has a problem, or is somebody trying to fuck me over here? You know, I totally think that. I'm like, I've slowly become this, like, manically paranoid person, I think. But anyway, I'm wondering if this is actually talking about the WOG movement and the whole WOG thing here, you know what I mean? Because this letter could be about that. I have this mate. You know, somebody could have got at this guy's computer, right? So he gets in there and goes, hey, I've got this friend whose computer I'm using, but he hasn't told me that. He's always been a very outspoken person, totally against cults, okay? However, I found this on the net, and I'm worried that he might have been sucked into something, okay? So this is a kind of, that could be applied to the whole WOG movement right there, okay? I asked my mates, my friends, in the IRC, and they suggested that I ought to ask you, especially since it looks authentic. Meaning that the WOG, the whole WOG movement thing could be a cult. It fits within the parameters of cultness, right? And especially since it looks authentic. Well, okay, could be. All the best, and he's put in here mischievously, which could actually be a warning to me, saying, you know, this could be me screwing you around, or, you know, I may be using this against you in the future, and just out of sheer, you know, nobility, because, you know, being from that region of the world, you know, you would think that, you know, chivalry's all right every once in a while. Now, if anyone is being, let's answer this question first and foremost, okay? If anyone is being sucked into a cult, there's really not a lot you can do about it, which is the sad, unfortunate, sick, painful truth. There's nothing you can really do about it. Honest to God, when you have someone who's going and they've made a decision in their life to, say, follow Jesus, okay, they're going to go and follow Jesus. Okay, well, if they're going to go do that, there's really nothing you can do about it. Really? I mean, what are you going to do? No, you can't go follow Jesus, because then you're violating their right to choose, right? You have to respect their choices as sentient individual beings and hope that your logic patterns, you know, are correct, and that they will also see that your logic patterns are correct and decide not to just blindly go and follow Jesus, right? You know, that's sort of the idea here. But if they choose to do that, there's nothing you can do. And it's people's nature, I think, human nature, to search for truth, for meaning, for higher cause, whatever. I mean, why else is everybody out there downloading the show? Why is this show made? Why does Rant Media exist? Why does Greenpeace start thriving? For everybody's searching. Everybody's looking for something. That's why religions make all kinds of money. All right? So it's kind of somehow ingrained in our nature. So the truth is that we are kind of sacrificing ourselves, everybody out there who's trying to, you know, go out and find out what's best. We're sacrificing ourselves to try to find the best system that will work for us. But, of course, we live in such a hyper-accelerated state. All these ancient structures and ancient religions, although somewhat stable, rely on information that's totally invalid and can be proven as such at any point in time. So it's kind of amazing to me how that works, but realistically, if you got a friend who's getting involved in a cult, you know, don't you get involved in the cult. You know, save your own ass. Talk to them logically and say, listen, dude, and at the very worst, you know, you're going to have severance with this person. You know, if they're getting really sucked into the cult, you'd say to them, look, man, and lay it out because they're your friend. And you say, look, dude, I owe you this, okay? I think the cult you're getting involved with is fucking weird, all right? I think it's wrong. And I really think you need to get the fuck out, because it's bad, man. It's all weird in there. Everybody's really messed up. I don't think it's healthy. You know, I think you should bail. I'm not going down that road. You know, and then invariably your friend will be like, well, you know, you're corrupted by whatever or whatever. And they'll feed you, you know, their local, you know, cult response. And then you'll be like, yeah, you bet, man. Well, if ever you get out of this, you know, you give me a call, okay? No prejudice. No, I got no bad feelings for you. You just let me know. So leave the door open so they can approach you again for help. But then that's all you can really do. Now, that said, I'm going to go back to my own paranoid ranting now. I would state that if, in regards to the WOG thing, I don't think the WOG thing is a cult. You know, I don't. Because, well, nobody really follows what I say, because I don't really say to do too much. You know, a lot of what I say here, like, let's assume, let's go worst case scenario. Let's say I'm a psychopath. And I'm raising my little David Koresh army out here to do my bidding. Okay, let's go that route. Okay, I'm Charles Manson over here. Well, psych profiling, although I've got some pretty dark thoughts, I'm pretty sure that any head shrinker out there would probably put me in the harmless category. You know, I'm pretty certain of that. Now, getting past that, I've never really wanted, you know, to do any damage or hurt anybody. I've never wanted people to give me money. I'm kind of a self-loathing kind of person, so I don't really see myself as a hideously self-promoting individual. As a matter of fact, if you can ask Sim, I can't even watch the videos. I can't watch patrolling. I can't watch any of that stuff. It makes me nuts. You know, as I'm performing, you know, I'm doing these performances and people are enjoying them and everything's very, very cool. So when you think about what the WOG movement is, really, all WOGs are people who want to, I would say, have a propensity for maintenance and engineering, you know, and the greatest feats that mankind has ever, you know, really achieved in maintenance and engineering has been during times of war. So this is why violence and that whole militaristic culture seems to exist and permeate throughout the WOGs. And it's not just Western military culture. Let's not forget that the entire Eastern martial arts scene is all part of that as well. So you've got this merging of ideas that aren't held back by prejudices of race or language or culture. I mean, it's a very large, crazy movement of all these different people who are just looking for the truth under, you know, sort of this lucid banner of WOGness, you see. And that, to me, is what the WOG movement is. So for the WOGs, you know, just to answer anybody who's concerned about, you know, me being some kind of weird cult leader or leader of a WOG group and all that kind of stuff, you bet. I intend to, you know, open a security company. I want to do that. I'm working with a security company. That's what I do, you know. But that's not what this is about. This is not what WOGs are about. That's a totally separate thing altogether. So let's just define that right here and now. Okay, everybody needs to understand that there's the world of the WOGs who, you know, are free, you know, ranging, you know, people and then there's Sean's world. So let's just make sure that there's a division there. And I don't want the two to mix. And that's why I'm kind of a solitary person and I limit my exposure. You know, because as things gain in notoriety, people get a little weird around you. I don't know why that is, but they do. So, you know, this is how that all works. So in answer to, you know, your question, if a guy decides to join a cult, there's not much you can do about it. If a guy wants to become a WOG, well, good for him and good for you. And you should be a WOG, too. Otherwise, we're eventually going to, you know, take over, build our Star Cruisers and head for space. In a militaristic Heinlein type society. But I promise everyone, job ships and Mecca. That's what I'm putting on my banner. On to the carving of my forehead. Right, near. Into the news. In bad cop news from Falwear, the chief of the New Orleans police is stepping down from his post. Oh, Jesus, I wonder why. Could it be because your entire law force sucks ass and you are a horrible leader? Any compass made the announcement Tuesday afternoon. He gave no reason and asked that people respect his privacy and his decision. That is some rich shit right there. The chief of the police saying that people respect his privacy and his decision. That's amazing, considering how many search warrants and violations of privacy these people, you know, conduct every day. That's some rich shit right there. You got balls of clank. However, the announcement comes after the official said 249 officers, some 15% of the police force, left their posts without permission in the days of the Hurricane Katrina hit. Compass said he'll return at the helm for a transition period for 30 to 45 days. So 250 cops bailed. Oh, shit. Things got too bad. Guess we better bail out and let everybody go crazy and kill each other. Mayor Ray Nagin reacted to the resignation, calling it a sad day for the city. Yeah. He called Compass a hero who helped guide New Orleans some of its toughest times, and said the Compass is retiring while it's on top. Well, I suppose it could be said that the guy himself, he didn't abandon his post, did he? He didn't abandon his post. So he had 250 guys within his post, though, who abandoned his post. I would say that the chief of police is responsible. It's shitty. You know, he's probably a good guy, but he should have better control of his people. They're cops, after all. I mean, these people are running around with guns. You should be able to, you know, why, if he's a good man, and the mayor says he's a hero, then why was this good man made to look like such a shithead by having 300 cops beneath him quit? That doesn't make sense. So these two images here, calling him a hero and having 250 officers beneath you quit, there's something not working there. The officers who left their post during the storm could face a special tribunal, which I'm very pleased about. Before the announcing his retirement, Compass said he was organizing a tribunal of the four assistant chiefs to hear each case. The plan is to differentiate deserters from those who had legitimate reasons for not showing up. Now, it could also be possible that he's been threatened personally, because if they're that corrupt, there could be a lot of things going on there, so maybe we should hold back judgment on this poor bastard. The president of the union that represents rank-and-file officers has said true deserters should be fired. They should be fired on. He told the Times-Picayune newspaper that those who left because of cowardice don't need to be on the staff, and he said that's a small fraction of the group. Officials said some of those 249 officers lost their homes, and some were looking for their family, and some just couldn't deal with the catastrophe. So this, if anything, is a massive administration and training issue. Very bizarre. That was sent in by Falwear, and a good story that was. Now, in tobacco mind control news, I don't really know how much... This was sent in by Grayscale. I don't know how much of this is actually legit, but check this out. Picture this scene. You walk into a chick bar where the clientele is young and the drink's reassuringly expensive. Reassuringly expensive. Those are two adjectives that do not go together. Reassuring and expensive. So if you pay more money, it's reassuring. You note the stylish combination of red and white furniture, the impressive intention and detail that goes into everything from the cushions to the ashtray. Suddenly, inexplicably, you urgently want to smoke a Marlboro cigarette. It sounds like the stuff of bad science fiction, but Philip Morris, the manufacturer of Marlboro, is such a believer in experimental marketing where furniture and design are used to subtly convey the brand's strength. It has created a crack team to transform the inside of Britain's upmarket bars and music events in attempts to boost its profits. As a smoking ban in England nears and tobacco advertising has been banned, now it says right here that tobacco advertising has been banned, cigarette companies have had to find other ways to sell their products. Internal marketing plans drawn up by the company last year, obtained by The Observer, show that Philip Morris offered financial incentives to managers to fill their bars with furniture bearing the Marlboro logo or placed its branded ashtrays and vending machines in areas where smoking is allowed. You should take up on this offer of ashtray. Philip Morris will give you $20 music voucher from HMV as a token of their thanks. The marketing teams were instructed to tell the managers. So we'll give you $20 worth of vouchers here. We'll give you some money if you do this. So this is totally payola on a weird scale. The company also experimented with subliminal ways of communicating its brand through themed bar areas, which could put up at major social events and did not feature the Marlboro logo or its packaging. Well, yeah, but it's still Marlboro is using experimental advertising. So since there's a ban on that, how is this in any way even an issue? You shouldn't be allowing anyone from Marlboro in there to mess around with the furniture because they're being financed by, you know, their advertising. I mean, where's the enforcement here? These installations, they were called, created lounge areas by placing comfortable red sodas in front of red sofas in front of video screens showing scenes of the redolent Wild West Marlboro country to convey the essence of the cigarette band while circumventing the sponsorship bans. Now, great hack, guys. You know, good for you that you found that loophole in the law here. You know, but it's very obvious. Everybody has even come out and said that it's obviously experimentally to get you to boost your brand strength, i.e. advertising. Now, what we need to have here is this is where you need to have somebody who's kind of like, you know, our very own, say, Space Marine, who goes around, you know, Inquisition style, looking for precisely this kind of thing, and then, you know, teaches the bad, bad company the error of their ways. This is through whatever means, you know, is deemed reasonable by our society, I suppose. But that's exactly the kind of stuff that, like, you look at this and go, well, there's a clear method of enforcement issue problems here. In saber-rattling news, sent in by Dead Code, who's been sending me some good stuff lately, China's military Tuesday began its biggest ever war exercises open to foreign observers. Wow. So, huge. With 16,000 soldiers carrying out maneuvers under the nation's Inner Mongolian region, State Press said. That's a massive movement. Some 40 military officers from 24 countries, including the United States, North Korea, Russia, the major European and NATO nations, began observing North Sword 2005 in North China, Xinhua News Agency reported. Now, this is interesting stuff because why would they do this? A massive expense. Huge expense to do something like this. Now, why did they do this? It will enhance mutual understanding and deepen friendship and cooperation between China's military and other militaries. Okay, that's pretty thinly veiled stuff here. It's like, look, this is our army. If you fuck with us, it is going to be on. This is our final option. Okay, this is what we have. So unless you play along, this is what you're going to be dealing with. And so that's exactly what that is. Okay? And deepen friendship? I don't think so. But cooperation, I'd say so. Yeah, coercion, perhaps? Foreign military spokesman Qing Gang told a regular briefing. Xing Huang, a defense ministry spokesman, told Xinhao newspaper it would exercise, would promote internal and regional security cooperation. These are just such, like, talk about towing the party line. The exercises were expected to last several days, but foreign observers would only be present for Tuesday, a Western observer said. The exercises were unfolding in Zhuhai, a military base in Inner Mongolia, some 500 kilometers, 300 miles, west of Beijing, and about 100 kilometers south of the Mongolian border. Which, you know, interesting stuff. This was basically a routine exercise similar to what they did last year when they invited foreign observers. This was not a new exercise. Oh! Then why is it the biggest ever? One Western military expert disputed the number of foreign observers attending the war games. So, there wasn't that many there. This isn't saber-rattling. Each country was only allowed to bring two observers, and from what we can say, only 14 countries are represented here, the experts say, on a condition of anonymity. The U.S. diplomat did not say whether the exercises resolved U.S. concerns in the directions of China's ongoing military modernization or transparency by Beijing and its basic military doctrine and military intentions. So, the newspaper says, yeah, we showed everybody what we got. Okay, and then everybody leaves and goes, yeah, there wasn't that many people there. It's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. It's not a problem. That seems what everybody seems to be saying here. The U.S. Defense Department, in a report earlier this year, said China was gearing up to reunify Taiwan. You like that? To unify Taiwan. So Taiwan doesn't want to be there, but they're going to not invade them. They're not going to attack them. They're going to reunify Taiwan by force. Okay, that's great. Reunification by force. I got to remember that one. I'm not going to invade other countries. I'm going to reunify the world to when it was all, you know, one world before, by whatever mudhut religion standard I'm going to go with. You know, we're not actually invading other nations. We're reunifying them. Anyway, to reunify Taiwan by force, and has deployed nearly 800 ballistic missiles on its southern coast facing the island. Yeah, there's nothing like reunification, like pointing missiles at people. China insists that it is aiming at for peaceful, it's aiming, 800 missiles worth of aiming, for peaceful reunification with the island that has been ruled independently since communist forces set up the People's Republic on the mainland in 1949. So 60 years now, Taiwan's been on its own. It's like, no, we don't want to be part of China. And China's like, yes, you're going to be part of China, and if you try to secede, we're going to kill you. Hence, 800 ballistic missiles. Uh-huh. So that's, you know, you got to look at that and go, well, I guess China doesn't want to lose that. But, you know, these people, they want to live free. So do you allow China to do that? Do we want to get involved with that? Or are you going to stand idly by and let all these people just be slaughtered? Well, I would hope not. You know, I hate to say it. I would hope that somebody would try to step in there and try to do something, you know, to tie him back. But I don't think that anybody you send in there is going to be able to help. So I think Taiwan's just basically going to get eaten. You know, what? No matter what kind of promises there are, I could see if they move on Taiwan that it'd be at that point that America might try to make it expensive. Pardon me, if China was going to move on Taiwan, I think America would take that opportunity to make it expensive for China by setting off some kind of series of attacks along the Indian-Chinese border, and therefore, you know, China would be instantly fighting a war on two fronts. Maybe that's their entire idea here. So whether or not they win, lose, or draw, America wouldn't give a shit because, well, they've succeeded in destroying the East. And if they do, like, because that war would be so taxing to everyone involved, and then eventually America could just kind of wander in there and start taking over, setting up bases and all that good stuff. So this is a very interesting sort of series of, you know, events that could be unfolding in the next little while anyway. Now, in hacked Sony PSP news, in a further blow to Sony's efforts to curb the use of homebrew software, because they hate people, you know, writing code for their machines for some reason, and pirate games on the PlayStation Portable, hackers last night released a patch for the recently launched V2 firmware, which allows it to be downgraded back to version 1.50. Oh, look at that. That, you may recall, is the last version to have the security loophole, which allowed users to launch unauthorized third-party applications, including homebrew games and programs, emulators, and pirated games off of their memory sticks. So, again, it's just a sort of a configuration that didn't actually do anything, but that's, you know, no doubt Sony's going to be losing its mind. Until now, users who had bought PSP recently with the 1.52 firmware on there, or have upgraded their system to version 2, a patch which brought with it a host of new functionalities such as a web browser, wireless photo sharing, and the ability to select custom wallpapers, they were unable to revert their systems to the older, less secure system. However, utilizing the security loophole in the PSP version 2 wallpaper system, which we reported yesterday, well, this website did, a group of hackers made it possible to downgrade and posted the details of their exploit to the internet, causing a surge of interest, which knocked several popular PSP information sites off the net last night. The exploitation is not for the faint of heart. It involves several hard resets of the PSP, and at one point, a message reporting that the firmware update has failed and SCE support needs to be contacted. But has been reported as successfully working on a variety of PSP hardware, including Japanese, US, and European units. So it's risky stuff, but if you want to do it, you can try it. I wonder if this has actually been leaked by Sony themselves. And I would bet not. I think that might be, I might be having my tinfoil hat on just a bit too tight. But, you know, we'll see. Now, in tapped VoIP news. Now, this is regarding voice over IP transmissions from Rogue Trooper. Broadband providers and internet phone services have until spring 2007 to follow a new and complex set of rules designed to make it easier for police to seek wiretaps federal regulators have ruled. It is clear from the Federal Communications Commission 59-page decision released late on Friday evening that any voice-over IP or VoIP providing linking with public telephone system must be wiretap ready. The list would include companies such as Packet8, Skype, and Vonage. But what remains uncertain is what the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act's ruling means for companies, universities, and non-for-profit organizations, and even individuals offering wireless and other forms of internet access. So essentially, wiretaps are on their way into VoIP. Now, do we have a problem with wiretaps? You know, what is the problem with this kind of concept, with the privacy thing? Well, some people say, Sean, you like privacy, don't you? Yeah, well, it's a different sort of thing, though. I mean, we're not saying that everyone is looking in through your windows. You're just selecting that a few people can look through your windows, and you would have to trust them. You would have to trust the government. So it kind of creates this sort of thing where you either trust the government or you don't trust the government. And unfortunately, I think with our current government, we don't trust them. Really, we don't. We don't trust our government anymore. So the concept of them, people we don't trust, spying on us, it's not, you know, watching over us at that point. It's spying on us because we don't trust them. They think they wish us ill. They're putting their own interests ahead of ours. And that's why, you know, this becomes a real problem. So I guess, do I think that this should go through and they should be able to tap VoIP? Well, I mean, from a law enforcement standpoint, yeah, they've got to be able to do it. But am I happy about it? No, because I think it's just yet another step. You know, I don't think law enforcement is the problem here. We can't be mad at law enforcement because law enforcement should have this kind of power. But it's who's wielding the laws that law enforcement enforces. You see what I'm saying? That's where we need to make the changes. Now, in illegal video news, these are kind of weird for me. Okay, this is like pretty close to a thought crime here. And this was sent to me by Dark Nature. A man who used his mobile phone to replay footage of a beheading of an Iraqi, a beheading in Iraq, probably of an Iraqi, to a hotel shop worker has been jailed for 60 days. You showed me a movie, you go to jail for 60 days. Sabanyanis, 23, played the images to a shocked Charlotte McClay last September at a hotel in Glasgow. Well, being as is on a phone, let's remember here, she's watching stick people. It's not like it's high res, you know, she's totally immersed, fed acid, you know, and forced to endure this, you know, beheading experience. She watched it on a fucking phone, all right? Anyway, sentencing him at the city's district court, and the stipendary magistrate said he could not understand why Yunus had the images on his phone. Well, that's... Thanks, Judge. What the fuck does that have to do with anything? I don't understand why people go trophy hunting, but, you know, they do. Anyway, Eden Edmonds said jail was a fitting penalty for the breach of the peace. This guy's totally being railroaded. The magistrate told Jonas, I struggle to understand why you'd have images on your phone entailing the death and degradation of another human being, regardless of the religion or race. That's some funny shit right there. That's totally something that gets shit put on a t-shirt. I struggle to understand why it is images on your phone entailing the death and degradation of another human being, regardless of their religion and race. Well, you know, Judge, you need to go to any fucking movie theater in the world, man, and you will find, like, nothing but, you can't even turn on the TV without finding, you know, images entailing death and degradation of another human being, regardless of their religion or race. Yeah, which is really funny that he actually said that. That made me laugh out loud when I read that. Miss McClay was shocked and upset and distressed by the images. This is a serious offense. This is a serious offense. It will be something she will remember for a long time. Perhaps maybe even the rest of her life. 60 days for showing this broad, a tiny little poorly formed movie on a phone. Now, this is not acceptable. I mean... This guy, you'll notice his name is Subhan Yonis, and he's from Iraq. So, you know, I don't suppose there's any sort of, like, racism going on here or even encouraged racism. Like, the concept of sending somebody to jail for me showing you an image that was not a crime, okay, it's not a crime. He has a document, okay, of an Iraqi beheading, okay? So, I believe, and they're not saying whether this was a legitimate beheading, like an execution. So it's an Iraqi governmental execution. He's got it on his phone. He was there. He observed it. He filmed it, right? Because Iraqi people are not going to let anybody just wander around filming whatever they like. So He's got this. He shows it to this broad, and she sends him to jail for 60 days. Now, that's some pretty severe stuff, okay? And it says, the buddy's lawyer said, he misunderstood that she might want to view this, and then she misunderstood what might be shown to her. So it was a huge misunderstanding is what the lawyer is saying. But I don't think that's the case at all. I think that this is clearly, on multiple levels, a clear cut of racism inside of, you know, the British law. I mean, without a doubt. I mean, how could it be anything but, really? Now, in Hanoi Hana News, and this was sent to me by Dead Code, the truth, according to Al-Qaeda. Now, this is some funny shit right here. Hanoi Hana was a broadcaster during the Vietnam War who used to send out these, you know, totally psychop messages to the GIs, right? She was like, oh, you poor GIs, all your wives are at home sleeping around and all this kind of shit, and play, like, groovy music, and then come back on and shit all over the GIs. It's Hanoi Hana. So I guess Al-Qaeda is going along with this. It's the truth, according to Al-Qaeda. Islamists loyal to Osama bin Laden network have launched an internet show aimed at dispelling the lies and propaganda on major international Arab television channels such as CNN and Al Jazeera. Now, this is some funny shit. I wonder how many, you know, being as all these Islamist loyalists to Osama bin Laden, and this guy's totally against technology, yet he's got a television station. This is like, you know, the Amish space program over here. The program, called The Voice of the Caliphate, was produced earlier this month by the Global Islamic Media Front, an Al-Qaeda-linked web-based organization that aims to be the messenger of the Mujahideen and all Muslims. Oh, wow. You know, that's... wow, they found a bunch of guys over there who, you know, had enough education to put this together. I'm totally impressed. I really am. This is the word of faith in the face of all that is void, reads the motto. This is the word of truth in the face of all that is void. In the face that all that is void. Wow. That's a pretty shitty motto. Which includes the image of a bonfire melting the logos of CNN, Reuters, Al Arabiya, BBC, and Al Jazeera. I think they should take it one step further. I think they should have blood raining down from the top as well. Al-Qaeda and the other groups have increasingly turned to the internet to spread their jihad and win over young Muslims. Yeah, like by using insane clown posse techniques, I guess. But the voice of the caliphate appears to be a departure from the videos of beheadings, attacked on U.S. forces, and speeches of Al-Qaeda's leaders frequently found on mainstream Islamist websites. The first show was heralded by recitations of the Quran and the roar of lions. The 15-minute program, as a weekly news roundup, was dedicated to bin Laden. Oh, the roar of lions. The anchorman, you know, I'm sorry, but these... Make no mistake, okay? I clearly view this exact thing, whether or not this is even real, but this concept here of this whole, you know, jihad, young Muslims, you know, destroy the West, the Al-Qaeda, that whole thought form, I am totally without mercy for this, okay? These people, unfortunately, I'm in a very scary place when it comes to this kind of thing because they fall into the category of enemy with me. And the problem is that, of course, these enemy are littered amongst many beautiful people that live in an amazing culture that's responsible for the Western world having, you know, quite a lot of wonderful inventions that came from Islamic culture. Like, make no mistake, Islamic culture in the past has been really, really cool, but they just haven't been able to seem to keep up with the times a little bit here. Now, when you look and you see these guys who are totally like, we will burn and slaughter the infidels of the West because we're all demons? Yeah, okay, you're insane, and you get, you know, the 39-cent solution. I'm sorry, I don't... There's no real reform for that. I have no problem killing these people because they... You know, I'm sorry, that's just the way things are going to have to work because these guys are all fucked up, you know, to be even buying any of this shit. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, we've got our own collection of tinfoil hat, you know, wearing psycho redneck, you know, Nazi swastika carving nuts ourselves. You know, we're trying to keep those guys under control. And some of them, you know, ran for president and won. But when you realize that you've got, you know, that there are a lot of intelligent people over here trying to make intelligence decisions to not destroy the world, you know, the last thing we need is to have these absolute psychotic shithead, you know, Al-Qaeda types doing this stuff. This is ridiculous. The voice of the caliphate appears to be a departure from the videos of beheading and attacks of U.S. forces. So, you know, it's pretty clearly that they're against everything that we're, you know, the free world is about. You know, pretty much whether you be the hippie free world, left wing free world, the right wing free world, these guys just don't fit in. They're like crazy, crazy, crazy. Now check out this. Imagine you tune in. An anchorman wearing a black balaclava congratulated Muslims on Israel's withdrawal from the Gaza Strip and the devastation wrought by Hurricane Katrina and the United States. Well, okay, you know, I can't make a comment on the Gaza Strip, but for them to him to take credit by the Hurricane Katrina in the United States, well, you might as well have taken credit for, all the heart attacks last year in the United States, too, because you had about as much to do with that. It's well known that the Israelis fled from Gaza thanks to the valiant battle of the Mujahideen, and that Katrina is God's wrath on the infidels. Yeah, and you call it Katrina, you mindless shit pump, because we have a science program that named it. So allow us to name a few more gods for you, you target. Anyway, this is what the anchor said. He was sitting at his desk flanked by a machine gun and a copy of the Quran. Yeah. I want a screen capture of that. Allow me to declare you enemy. In the background, images bearing the logo of popular Arabic channel Al Jazeera showed Palestinians celebrating in Gaza and then palm trees thrashing in the hurricane of the United States. This is just comical. I mean, this is WWF-grade comical. In other main news, on the slickly produced show, which, I'm sorry, from the way you described it, that's not slick, man, that's the Muppet Show, was a declaration of war by Iraqi's Al-Qaeda leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi against the Shiite Muslims in Iraq. Against Shiite Muslims. Well, you know, I wish somebody could explain to me what the fuck's going on there, because what's this Al-Qaeda guy who's Muslim declaring war against other Muslims? I mean, this guy can't even get his shit together that way. Like, he can't even get Muslims on his side. Why isn't the Shiites getting along with him? Not that I really want, you know, the extended dance mix version, but if somebody wants to send me the Coles notes on that, that's fucked up. And Al-Qaeda's latest victories, he got no victories, in the battle against U.S. troops. Yeah, our victories. We snuck up behind somebody and stabbed them. Victory! These people have no concept of what a stand-up fight is. But that's okay. If ever, you know, that would be interesting if you could somehow set it up where you could have, like, just one-on-one soldiers decide, you know, I disagree with everything that you are, and you're a great white demon. And I'm going to go out here and we'll do it man to man. Let's just go out there and see what comes out of that. That would be quite the brutal sporting event to get on pay-per-view, don't you think? I wonder if that's one of those after now sort of thoughts that we all hope never happens, but we kind of think one day just might. Now, in global warming news, another article sent in by Falware. The area covered by sea ice in the Arctic has shrunk for a fourth consecutive year, according to new data released by the U.S. scientists. They say that this month sees the lowest extent of ice cover for more than a century. The Arctic climate varies naturally, but researchers concluded that the human-induced global warming is at least partially responsible. Okay, so we got the blame thrower out, and now we're saying, it's global warming, it's not global warming. Okay, well, guess what? Nobody listened to the scientists in the first place. So whether or not who's to blame, whether the scientists are to blame, let's put the blame thrower away. Okay, we've passed the point. Shit is going wrong. Let us assume now that the child is on fire and that we need to take steps to putting the child out. Okay, let's just assume that things are about to take a very serious shit. And perhaps this is the reason why we have all this concern over oil right now. Isn't this well-timed? That global warming and this kind of weird, crazy oilness is going on. Maybe this is all fabricated. I don't know. Maybe this is all a thing to drive us into this frenzy. Interesting. I'd wonder what the purpose of that frenzy would be other than to just make money. Because, well, there's got to be more to it than that, I would hope. In tracking news, Thunderspud sent me this. The Electronic Frontier Foundation is arguing that a New York federal court should stand by its decision to require probable cause, to believe a crime has been or is about to be committed before letting the government secretly track people using their cell phones. So these guys are like, no, you just can't track anybody with your cell phone. You have to have some kind of reason that he's done something wrong. The probable cause is pretty loose. This is the first case considering when the government can track your movements of a cell phone, and the answers couldn't be more important, said EFF staff attorney Kevin Bankston. Allowing the government to turn anyone's cell phone into a tracking device without probable cause will enable a surveillance society that would make Big Brother jealous. Yes. Last month, this is why, you know, now they've got all these phones. There's this big, I've noticed this the other day. This, of course, is going to go through. unfortunately, it's not going to be stopped. I mean, yeah, they'll probably get a few token things, and they'll put some stuff on paper. But I totally believe that all these, the EFF is largely kind of like the UN. I believe in them, and they need to fight. And for God's sake, support them, because they're the only chance we got until they. But until the EFF has got enforcement working with law enforcement, I mean, what kind of a, you know, we see it all over, you know, these TV shows and stuff like that. Where, you know, these guys are like, hey, can you do me a favor? Just jump into this file. Well, these are huge violations. Massive violations. So, I mean, especially, Jesus, I watched 24. If you approach that from, like, a rights perspective, holy crap. Like, those people do nothing but violate civil rights and privacy rights. It's amazing to watch that. Of course, you don't really care because they're the good guys, right? I wonder if that's one of the reasons why that series was made. Oh, yeah, no, we need to have people believe. Isn't it amazing how many cop shows are on TV right now? I mean, when you think about that, how many cop shows are out there on TV right now that are really big? Well, that's just what people are interested in. Yeah, that's because that's where all the good writing and all the good effort is being placed. You can make anything good. There's good science fiction. There's good horror. There's good cop shows. There's good everything. You can make anything good. It's just a matter of why is so much attention being paid on law enforcement shows. Is that part of the big social programming? I don't know. Just a thought here. But I personally, you know, all you got to do is watch a couple episodes of 24, and that's pretty, the only thing accurate about that show is probably how quickly they'll violate your rights regarding, you know, tracking. Now, in Black Ice news, bit of a warning here, a real player and Helix player are at risk from remote zero-day attack. From remote zero-day attacks following a publication on the internet of an exploit code for a flaw in the software. Helix Player is an open-source project that forms the foundation of Real Network's commercial Real Player. The flaw, which puts users who run players on Linux or Unix at risk, is based on a format string error and could be exploited via RP and RT file formats and possibly other formats. So be aware of that. For all you Linux, Unix guys out there, there is a bit of a virus floating around with Real Player. Make sure you give a look at it. It's a kind of a scary little thing because those sort of things suck. And if you can avoid them, it's always good to do that. And that's all I got for you today. But thanks. Oh, no, wait. I got the Daily Hacks. Missed the Daily Hacks there. Tunneling exploits through SSH. Thanks very much to Data Maggot. This is a Flash animation. Very, very cool. And shows a tunneling exploit through SSH. So make sure you go check that out. A little bit geek heavy, but should be cool. And for those of us who are not so into tunneling, we have a LAN party map, thanks to Data Maggot. No matter where you are in the continental United States, you can find the closest LAN party to where you live with the click of a mouse. Is there a LAN party happening in your area? You can add a LAN party location on the map as well and give it a look. The LAN party map is a new tool to find LAN parties near you. It's based on Google Maps. It places a color-coded marker on the map for each upcoming LAN. Most of the time, you either know the LAN you are looking for, so do a Google search and hope something came up, or wade through a long list of LANs. Now all you can do is look at this map, and you've got all the local LAN parties showing up locally. That's awesome. And incidentally, that'll go away if they make maps all copywritten and we can't do this sort of thing anymore. But, you know, I mean, that's just another vanishing right. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This would be a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 66 people for the month of August. So thank you so much. And I would also like to thank everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's NEWSREAL at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album Moonlight Corporation. I'm going to leave you now with a track by Johnny Cash called Drive On. Love this song. Love to throw it on the show. Until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.
Well, I got a friend named Whiskey Sam. He was my boonie rat buddy for a year and now. He said, I think my country got a little off track. Took him 25 years to welcome me back. But it's better than not coming back at all. Many a good man I saw fall. And even now, every time I dream, I hear the men and the monkeys in the jungle scream. Drive on. It don't mean nothing. My children love me, but they don't understand. And I got a woman who knows her man. Drive on. It don't mean nothing. It don't mean nothing. Drive on. Well, I remember one night Tex and me, rappled in on a hot LZ. We had our 16s on rock and roll, and with all of that fire, I was scared and cold. I was crazy, and I was wild, and I have seen the tiger smile. I spit in a bamboo viper's face, and I'd be dead, but by God's grace, drive on. It don't mean nothing, my children love me, but they don't understand. And I got a woman who knows her man, drive on. It don't mean nothing, it don't mean nothing, drive on. It was a slow walk in a sad rain, and nobody tried to be John Wayne. I came home, but Tex did not, and I can't talk about the hit he got. But I got a little limp now when I walk, and I got a little tremolo when I talk. But my letter read from Whiskey Sam, you're a walking, talking miracle from Vietnam. Drive on. It don't mean nothing, my children love me, but they don't understand. And I got a woman who knows her man. Drive on. It don't mean nothing, it don't mean nothing. Drive on.